You're listening to Swimming World Radio at the NISCA 2011 Clinic in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Let's join Mike Adams in his second talk.
A couple of things before we get started. Eve had mentioned, I believe Dana had talked about putting the PowerPoint that I have on a PDF.
It's done.
So how are we going to get that to the membership?
We can make it downloadable.
You can. I'll post it on the website.
Okay.
The members only section, so you can log into the website and download any of these, I guess.
Okay. Great. Okay. Very good. One of the great things about being in the sport of swimming is that you get an opportunity to run into people that you haven't run into for about 25 years. And I think the gentleman stepped out of the room, but I'm going to mention him. You know, we all have mentors, and one of the people who's being honored tomorrow, Jay Fitzgerald, I had the privilege of working with for 3 years in Cincinnati from 1982 to 1985. And Jay, he's being recognized by NISCA, but I'm not sure people realize that in 84, he put three people on the Olympic team, those being Kim Rodenbaugh, Betsy Mitchell, who was a silver medalist in backstroke, and Dave Wilson, who was a gold medalist on the relay, as well as a silver medalist in the backstroke. So I was hoping to embarrass Jay, but in typical Jay fashion, he stepped out of the room so that I could not embarrass him. But at any rate, you guys need to know that about Jay Fitzgerald and what a great coach he is, not only high school, but also in the USS circuit. The first part of my next talk here is a little bit on philosophy, and I touched a little bit about it on the first part, but I'll go over it again. Name of my talk is No Weak Links in the Long Red Line, Constant and Continuous Progress. And the first part of this talk is really philosophy. One of the things, reading an Ask a newsletter recently, Eddie Reese was talking about working to make each swimmer better, not necessarily winning. Okay, and if you've looked at any Eddie's teams over the years, that's what he does, and that's kind of what we do, or what we try to do in our program. Our goal, we want every swimmer to improve by a lot, all distances and all strokes. It means a lot to me as a head coach for our freshmen and our JV to drop enormous amounts of time. It sets the tone for our sectional kids, for our state kids, and it kind of works to build, you know, your varsity kids next year. You know, when we're at DVC this year and we have this, you know, awkward looking freshman anchoring our medley relay and the entire team is chanting his name before he hits the pool, it just kind of sets the tone for what we're trying to do. You know, we don't redshirt and we recruit. So as a result, you've got to constantly rebuild each and every year with the talent you have. We try to get everyone to swim in our program as fast as we can year after year. Our team motto, if you will, is to work hard, to swim fast, and to have fun. And the boys would tell you not necessarily in that order. So in preparation for the talk, I talked to a number of people who are somewhat close to our program, but you know, it's like, you know, I'm being asked to talk about what's going on here, and you know, tell me what you see in our program. Tell me what you see. And so some of the comments are those comments. And I'm sorry, Jay Fitzgerald has stepped back into the room. Jay, would you stand up, please, because I'm going to embarrass you. I worked with Jay from 1982 to 1985, and just Jay's being recognized as a high school coach, but Jay, I wanted everybody to realize that in 84, you put three people on the Olympic team. Betsy Mitchell, silver medalist in the back. Dave Wilson, silver medalist in the back, and also gold medalist on the medley relay. So everybody needs to know what a great coach Jay Fitzgerald is, and I'm honored that he allowed me to coach with him for 3 years. Thank you, Jay. I'll keep going. Okay. So again, with our program, it's everyone on our team is very, very important, okay? And I don't pay lip service to that. And the way you communicate that is super, super important. It's not just, you know, one or two good swimmers. It's the entire team that's really, really important. We don't play favorites. We're firm, but we're fair with our kids. And at the end of the season, that's really where we want everything to accumulate. We try to do everything in 3 months, if you will. And what I mean by that is, you know, in the other 9 months, I'm not sure if the kids are going to be in the water training. Some of them take advantage of the programs that we have in our area, and they're all very, very good. But some of them really, you know, they sign up, but they don't go. You know how that works. So, again, we stress during our high school season, you must come to practice to, you know, take advantage of what we can do. We talked about the end of the year, and that is our focus, is the end of the year. We swim through the majority of our meets during the season, which can be kind of painful because we swim against some really, really good people. But our focus is our conference meet, sectional meet, and state meet. And what we talk to the kids about is, you know, the regular season is in preparation for the playoffs. You know, we're and all of our kids individually and or as a team, we're going to the playoffs. And it doesn't matter if we're 1-5 during the season or if we are 10th at every invitational. We want our end of the year to be our focus. We all get excited about the end of the year. And Mark was asking earlier about, you know, how do you build team and everything else. We've had some talks. You know, we had some a talk after 2002. We had a talk after last year. And, you know, the theme is really, really the same. It's like, you know what? That was last year. It was great that we had a great year last year. But last year is unimportant. The most important year is this year. It's all about this year. We swim for the past, present, and future. And it's always about the future, not just the now, if you will. You know, we have, with the internet and everything else, we have a big following. Our fans, you know, they expect us to be good. And, you know, it's kind of an attitude, if you will. And being good is a relative thing. I mean, you can be challenging for a state title. You could be top five. You can be top 10. You can be getting lifetime best. It's all, you know, that's really the focus. So, you know, somebody mentioned earlier during the questions, you know, about, you know, coming to practice and everything. And I think through the various years, as you're there each and every year, I think the swimmers realize that if it's important to you, that is swimming, that it's important to them. And if they see that you are there each and every day putting in the time, they will buy into it and want to be a part of that. I think that, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years is that you've got to trust your own judgment as to what to believe in. You've got all this stuff on the internet right now. You've got all these, you know, so-called experts. And I'm about ready to get in trouble for a minute, but I'm going to say briefly what's on my mind. I was at a clinic in 2008. It was a USS clinic. And there was, you know, a former coach coming in, and he was analyzing backstroke film. And I, after about 20 minutes, I turned to a coach next to me who I've known for years, and I said, "Is it me? He's not, what I'm seeing is not what he's talking about." He goes, "You're absolutely right." The point I'm trying to make is you've got to be really careful to whom are you listening about what's going on in our sport and everything else. So this gentleman was coming in telling us that these backstrokers are doing this, and, you know, Eddie Reese doesn't really agree with this, but, you know, this is what, you know, you should be doing. And I go back a couple years before that. I was at an ASC clinic, and I was at the stroke school, and they were saying, "Well, you know, the stuff we were telling you in the 80s, we're not really sure is true." And, you know, Janet Evans freestyle, and looking at a lot of the freestylers last night, I sure saw a lot of straight arm freestyles, and it looked pretty good to me. And then one other topic, back when, you know, Jay and I were working together, there was a distinguished person who was telling us, this is when Matt Biondi was swimming, that less was more, and you don't need to do this, and you don't need to do this. And lo and behold, his results were really not what was on the up and up. The point I'm making is that you really have got to be careful to whom are you listening? You know, are they really giving you what is actually out there? Or, you know, you're going to have to figure out yourself what works, what doesn't work. And I'm not trying to be jaded. I'm just trying to be truthful. You've got to watch what the experts are telling you. I mentioned, you know, Dave Salas said everything's in a continuum. I talked to Pete Malone a couple years ago, and you know, he mentioned to me that you can't swim fast all the time. And every year during our season, as we're getting our brains beat out by a lot of these other teams, I keep that in mind, that you have to pick your moments in our sport when you're going to swim fast, and that's what we try to do. You know, we'd like to have all the kids step up. I remember many years ago we lost a meet. We had a number of injuries and illnesses, and we had a number of kids that did not step up to the plate and really compete. And, you know, in our program, if you are there, we expect you to compete. We don't expect you to be Michael Phelps, but we expect you to get up and to compete to the best of your ability. I think it's important, as I said in my first talk, that you really try to figure out what swimmers are good at. A lot of times they limit themselves. I can only swim the fly. I can't do the IM. And in reality, you've really got a good IM. And you have to constantly sell them that they're good at other things, whether they like it or not. And again, another good part of our program, I think one of the great things about high school is that they have to be there. Most of the time, they're doing what we want, how we want, and it works pretty well. With our kids, I try not to stress the small stuff. I know I had an assistant a couple years ago, and again, how do I put this? Jay, maybe I've mellowed a little bit, but I try not to get on them for, you know, little things that escalate into big things. You know, if there's a problem with them being there on time, I talk to their parents and everything, but I'm not a big yeller. I don't scream at them. I don't pick on them, that type of thing. If they're in a doghouse or if they do something wrong, you know, they're punished and then they're, you know, kind of welcomed back into the fold, if you will. And that seems to work pretty well as far as discipline goes. But I see some contemporaries that will just, you know, berate kids and they lose them. And, you know, you want the kids to be there. Again, the great thing about coaching right now is you think you've seen it all. And every year, somebody will come up with some wild excuse as to why they can't be there. But that's the way it works, and that keeps us all going. Again, we're a team that welcomes all abilities. I was really impressed yesterday with Chris's talk. And even though my talk isn't about that specific area, we really try to get our kids to be better people. I remember a couple years ago, one of our swimmers, I was arguing with his mom. What a surprise. I don't think anybody's ever had that problem. But she was telling me how wrong I was about, you know, this and doing this, and you demand too much. And then at the end of the year, she told me I was totally right. At any rate, she almost ran me over in a parking lot about a year ago, maybe because she lost the argument, but in reality, she wanted to tell me that her son had just gotten like a 95 on his MCATs or something like that. And the point I'm making is that swimming is there. You want kids to swim fast, but you're really there to have them be better people. You want them in 10 or 15 years when you have three kids and they're, you know, bosses on them all the time. You want them to be able to have a lot on their plate. They know they can handle it. Let me talk a little bit about goals for a minute. We try to start the goal process early in the season. We try to talk to the kids individually. We talk to them about our team, about what we think we can do as a team. And we're realistic about it wherever we start off with. And again, part of my job is to, as I see it, is to reassure and convince the kids that, you know, no matter where we're at, that we're just fine. And that you just cannot worry about where we're at. We start it off every Monday. We have a Monday meeting, usually lasts about a half an hour. If the kids get me going on other subjects, sometimes a little bit longer. It sets the tone for the week. We talk about, the other thing I like to do is I like to sit down with our sectional state kids and have separate meetings with them. I'd like to do it more, but sometimes you can't do that because everything's going on. But not everybody of that 45-man roster is going to be going to the sectionals or the state meet. So the kids that are in that realm, we try to get them to sit down and talk to them about what we think we can do as well. Try to talk to them individually about their goals, whether they're not thinking big enough, whether they're, you know, maybe thinking too big, which usually isn't the case. And then really, I think the big thing with us, the process of getting there is really, really important. With our season, you know, you start off fast, you finish fast, but it's really what you do in the middle that's really, really important. Are you going to practice every day? Are you working to the best of your ability? Are you getting your rest outside of the pool? You know, the swimmers that we have nowadays, they think they can do anything. Of course, not that we couldn't at that age, but, you know, you've got to get your rest outside the pool. If we're on task, usually everything works out just fine. Our captains do a great job of keeping our swimmers on task. If there's a message that I'm trying to convey to the swimmers and it's not being conveyed, they do a great job of reinforcing everything that we do. If there's something that, let's say, I'm doing wrong, the door is always open for somebody to say something about, you know, hey, you know, I thought you were a little bit too rough on this person. Sometimes I listen, sometimes I don't, but that door is always, always open. Sometimes you don't achieve everything that you want in a season, but that doesn't mean that you had a bad season. And I think that you've got to, you know, reinforce that with your athletes, and we do that all the time. If you don't necessarily get what you want, you need to reinvigorate, come back even stronger. As Vince Lombardi said, you know, it's not whether you're going to get knocked down, it's whether you're going to get back up. And, you know, that's kind of the process about, you know, what we try to teach our kids. As far as coaching, I think it starts with you as the coach. You set the tone as to what you're going to do with the team. I firmly believe that. I was arguing with one of my, or actually he is my boss right now, but that, on another note, we were at a convention in Indianapolis, and we're listening to Dave Salo talk about Irvine Nova and, you know, how he was able to turn it around. And, you know, I honestly believe that you, wherever you're at, can make a huge, huge difference just by what you start out with. You know, whether you start out with, you know, 3 kids, whether you start out with 100, you know, you set the tone as to where you're going to go with that group. And again, if it matters to you, it will matter to them. You know, and I'm just going to give you, you know, credibility thing here. I know that a couple years ago there was a coach, and these were girls' coaches, and they wanted, you know, they wanted to go golfing on Friday nights. And then Saturday morning, when their girls weren't there at practice, they'd yell at him about why they weren't there. And, you know, I didn't say anything, but, you know, you're saying one thing and doing another. That's not going to lead to what you need to do. Again, be demanding and positive. Commit to your athletes. If you have a bad day, don't take it out on them. You know, it's not the 1960s. It's the 2010s, and you have to explain things to them. You have to, you know, whether you like it or not, you have to justify what you're doing, and you have to realize that no matter how much you know, they all know more than you. So you have to, you know, take it with a grain of salt. And regardless, if it appears that they're not listening to you, they are listening to you. I remember a couple years ago, one of my, I won't say troublesome, but, you know, he would be, you know, attitude. His mother was telling me, oh, he listens to you all the time. And I didn't think he was listening to anything I was saying. So, again, listen to your kids. Don't be afraid to hear what they have to say. Be prepared. Try to get to practice early. Try to leave practice early. I remember a couple years ago, I was out of town, had a relative that was sick. I came back, and the kids were really happy to see me because usually I'm there early, I'm there late. There's a calmness that goes along with that rather than opening up the door at, if practice begins at 5, if you're opening it at, you know, 5 to 5, you know, then everybody's starting off the day a little bit jumbled. Always have an open door policy. We had a swim coach many years ago, Jim Councilman, Doc Councilman, who had a paper out. I think John Leonard has it, maybe not here, but master the X factor. You know, master that X factor to be the best coach you can be. Okay. The other thing I want to mention with our schedule, and I'm going to go into that in a minute, our schedule is demanding, but even though it may not appear it here, I'm pretty flexible within reason as far as, you know, their academic needs. We have boys, you know, they play cello, they have this, they have that. Like I said, it's 2010, so you try to adjust your schedule to their needs as long as I'm not being taken advantage of. If they're too tired, you know, we'll adjust their schedule because sometimes some boys physically can't handle what we're doing. A couple of other things, have the courage to change your convictions when you need to get better. I remember New Orleans, the ASCA clinic in 2001, it was a week before 9/11. The late Richard Quick gave a great talk about, you know, really reaching out and finding out what can work for your program. And I had been thinking about making some changes, and that really kind of put me over the hump, if you will, toward doing that. And at the same time, have the courage to stick to your convictions regardless of what the press, the bloggers, the critics, the parents are saying. Because that's important, because again, you know, they don't know what you know. As the late George Haynes said, don't take anything for granted. You can never be too prepared. I know that at the state meet, you know, we'll have an agenda for our state meet. And this year, I even had an agenda for, you know, if you're going to get a rub down or if you're going to get like a meal, that type of thing. I think the more structured you are, the better the boys like it. Now, that's not an iron structure. There's you know, you can always change it, but I think the more structure you have, the better. Be patient at all times, especially in times of, you know, crisis. You're the rock of your program. Nobody can coach the team better than you. I honestly, truly believe that. Give the aura of confidence regardless of the situation. And I think this is important. You cannot BS your swimmers because your kids will see right through it. Kids are not given enough credit today for being the intelligent people that they really are. They get it if you are interested in them. They get it if you're on their bad side. And they get it if you care. So, you know, always, you know, take care of them. You know, own up to, you know, let's say if something doesn't go well, you know, own up to it. Be behind them 110%, whether they are doing really well, whether it doesn't work out quite as well as you want, and always re-examine what could be better. Don't let good enough be good enough. If you're, you know, doing well, you know, don't put expectations on what you can do in the sport. I remember many years ago when I was swimming that, you know, if you were a 59 breaststroker, you know, that was pretty good. Now if you're a 59 breaststroker, that's like, you know, what a 105 breaststroker was when I was swimming. And the times are only going to get better. You know, the suits, the everything else. I think many years ago in our state meet, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, if you were 136 in the medley relay, you were top six. This year, if you're, what we had a team 136.9, they were 13th. Okay, and it's only going to get better like that. So, you know, that's really where the future is, and that's where we're going. The other thing is, the better your program gets, the more scrutiny you will come under, the more critics you will have, the better that everybody else in your city knows how to coach the team better than you. That comes with the territory. No, I'm serious. It's absolutely true. So the other thing, and I know we're at a high school conference here, but encourage your swimmers to swim year-round. We have five programs in our area, the Mavericks, Naperville Y, Wheaton Academy and Fox, And we have swimmers from all of those programs. I talk to the coaches on a regular basis as to what I'm doing with their kids and what their kids are doing. And, you know, give those people the credit, because the more of them that swim year-round, the better your program is going to be. It's not an ideal marriage, and, you know, we would all like to coach our kids all year-round, but that sometimes that's not going to happen. Again, the more that swim, the better your team's going to be. Don't be afraid to share the glory or give the credit elsewhere, because, again, it all works. We all help each other out. Then the other thing, you know, as Dick Jokums used to say, I try to be my team psychologist. I try to keep too many voices outside their brains, if you will. Sometimes I'm successful at that. Sometimes I'm not. Probably need to do a better job of that. I mentioned my volunteers earlier, and that works out pretty well. And again, you know, if there's, you know, a knowledge that you're missing, feel free to reach out, because there's plenty of people out there that know what to do it and know how to help you. Okay, Eve, now that I've totally messed you up, I think we're going to move to slide 8. I'm sorry, when I put my PowerPoint together, I put it together, and then I went back, and then I started to write. And that was probably the wrong thing to do. But I'm a creature of habit. I don't have my workouts on, you know, the my computer. I have it, you know, handwritten. So bear with me. Actually, I need to. I think Arvel was talking to me about the drag suit issue. Just so that you're aware, if we happen to wear two suits this year, we were disqualified on a regular basis. So we shifted to the one suit, drag suit, and that seemed to work pretty well for us. So, okay, all right. I think I talked about goals. I want to talk a little bit about training right now. And if I have time, I'll come back to goals. I want to, bear with me a second. Our schedule, as I said, we swim Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3:30 to 5:30. And then in the mornings, we go 5:15 to 7. And with our season, I call it the long, short season, because it is a long, short season. And what we try to do within that practice is as follows. Usually Monday morning, we will do kind of like a distance free set with everybody. We do pull buoys, tubes, and paddles, something that I got from a coach, Mike Arata, who I swam with for many years, not many years, but he was a great high school coach, and he was an influence with that. In the afternoon, we'll do like middle distance freestyle, kind of a rainbow type set. In the Tuesday mornings, we will do like probably a little bit of IM set, and then we'll do a quality set. For Tuesday morning. In the afternoon, we'll do quality as well. Usually on Tuesdays, we might work early in the season 400 IM. In the afternoon on Tuesday, we might get work hundreds of stroke. Wednesday mornings, we're off. Wednesday afternoon, we'll probably do a little bit of a freestyle set. We usually do our kicking on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We started this probably about 4 or 5 years ago. On Wednesday afternoon, we do a fly set as a team. I'm not sure that's the right thing to do, but it's made our IMers and our flyers, and I think our team's a little bit tougher overall. Thursday morning, we usually do like 200 stroke, if you will, early in the season, and also a little bit of a quality set. Thursday afternoon, race pace, and a little bit of 200 IM. Friday morning, a little bit of breaststroke pull, weak stroke, kind of a hodgepodge. Usually, like, this is a general trend that we try to follow, but many times during the season, I'll find that because of the athletes we have, we're moving off into different areas. And then Friday afternoon, again, it's, you know, probably short rest, free set, just to round it out. As I said, the first week of our season, we tend to do a lot of volume just to get going, and then we get our quality focus into the practice right away. And I mentioned on Tuesday and Thursday, the IM and the stroke, that'll change a little bit after we get out of the Christmas break season. After Christmas break, instead of 400 IMs on Tuesday, we'll hit 200 IMs on Tuesday mornings. Instead of 100 stroke on Tuesday afternoons, we might do 50 stroke in the afternoons. And then Thursday, the same thing. Instead of Thursday morning, 200 a stroke, we'll go hundreds of stroke. And then in Thursday afternoon, instead of 200 IM, we'll train for the 100 IM. Just because it is a high school season, it is such a short, short season. So let me talk a little bit about the strokes that we train for. We train, obviously, freestyle, distance, middle distance, and sprint. We train back. We train breast. We train fly. We train IM. And I say IM because, you know, some of the years I've coached, I'm embarrassed to say, you know, maybe we swam a little too much freestyle trying to train for IM. You cannot train freestyle and swim a good IM. We work the underwaters. We work the kicks. We work drills. And then we spend a lot of time on starts, turns, and finishes. That's a good question. Sorry. Why don't we move to our next slide? Thank you. Okay, we've talked a little bit about bowls, long, short seasons. Okay, one of the things that we've done with our diving apparatus, I'm on 10 now, thank you. With dives, and in retrospect, I probably should have shown you, had a picture of this, but at any rate, I had a meddling parent probably about 6 or 7 years ago, and you know, so I got him to build me this diving apparatus, which would be around our board. And basically what happens is it kind of goes out. I have two PVC pipes that go out here, and I put one of those noodles across, and we have the kids jump and dive over it, only in the diving well. We don't do that in our shallow pool. And it's really helped us get out and over the water so that once they get over the water, they get into the water. And we've done that with our starts, and I think that's really helped us. The other thing that we do with our relay exchanges is several years ago we got the new Paragon blocks. So I had in our shallow, or not our shallow pool, our diving well, I have the old blocks. I have two old blocks, and it whatever it is, it's 15 yards, and I have people get up and do relay starts for 15 minutes at a time. And it's, you know, very quick, very to the point. We'll get four people on each side, another four people on this side, and they'll go 15 minutes. And you can do the traditional, have them dive off the blocks and do relay starts. But I have found by doing this on the side, and even if I didn't have those blocks, I would make stations to do that because they are quicker off the block. They know what the swimmers are doing coming into the wall, and that's worked out really, really well for us. With our training, I kind of compare it. There was a pitcher out there several years ago, Greg Maddux, and he was very successful because he changed speeds. I think we do that a lot in our program rather than just training at one speed all the time. I've talked about our morning schedule. Let me talk a little bit about our drills, if you will. And then I want to go into the different sets that we do. With freestyle, we do, you know, catch up, we do 12 kicks and switch, we do Pac-Man, backstroke, we do 6 kicks and switch, we do L drill, we do teacup, we do spin drill, we do double arm. In breaststroke, we do catch up, try it again, butterfly, catch up, we do right, left, both, both, angel drill, double underwater pull through, one arm drill. Something I don't have on there for butterfly that we do, and I think it's very helpful, is pulsing. We do that with the younger kids. We also do it with the older kids. For breaststroke, kick, kick, pull, breathe. We do a lot of breaststroke pulling, head up. pull kick glide, right left, both with arms. We do a lot of one arm breaststroke with the other arm at your side, do a lot of cobra, spear kick, and we also do pull kick glide, which is not on the slide here. As far as our sets that we do, and I'm going to kind of, this is not on there, and I apologize for that, but just some of the quality sets that we like to do. I know, you know, traditionally, you know, the 6100 IMs on either 145 and 330, and what I mean by 145 and 330, we usually go from both ends. We will do a set that I kind of altered. Jack Bowerly had a set for his Georgia girls, but I thought it was too fast, where he would do, I think it was six sets of 825s, and I would equivalent this to race pace 100 work. And I think he had the girls on like a short rest send off, but I didn't really like that. So what I will do, we'll go six sets of 825s, swim six, rest two, we'll put them on 45. I know that's a lot of rest, but the kids really get into it. We go 10 seconds apart on that. And depending, sometimes we'll change 45 to 50 because obviously you get, some of them are coming in and that 5 second thing causes a problem. But that works out pretty well for us. Another set that I like a lot for our IMers, we'll go a couple rounds of 250s fly on 110, 450s back on 110, 650s breast on 110, 850s free on 110, trying to be race pace 200 IM. That's worked out pretty well for us. Again, a variation of our IM set, 12 100s on 145, two rounds of six where we're going 50 fly back, 100 IM, 50 back breast, 100 IM, 50 breast free, 100 IM. Another one that I like a lot, we'll go 30-50s freestyle on a minute and a half, and they have to be 200 pace or faster. That's worked out really well for us. Another one that we do over the holidays, we'll go 10 sets of 5-50s. We might go on 120 or 130. They're going 10 seconds apart where they swim four and rest one. And they have to be, you know, if it's IM or 200 breasts or 200 back, they have to be at that pace or faster, and that works out pretty well for us. An aerobic set that I kind of like a lot for our IMers, we'll start off 6 200 IMs on 230, and then we might go a 200 free on 215. 5 200 IMs on 230, a 200 free on 215, 4 200 IMs on 230, a 200 free on 215, 3 1 2 1 1 1, and again those send-offs may be too fast or too slow depending on, you know, your type of IMers, but you're getting a lot of IM in and you're getting a lot of freestyle at the end there. Another one that I like is, you know, we've gone like 20-75s. This year I did a lot more weird distances, and I kind of liked it because it kept them fresh and guessing. 20-75s free on 2 minutes, and, you know, we're running at both ends. So we've got one group going, and then we start another group, and that worked out pretty well for us. Another set that I like a lot, and I kind of got this from somebody that we, both Jay and I used to work with. Mark Williams used to do this a lot, but it would be like a 300 free on 5, then 450s drill swim, a 150 on 230, then 825s drill swim, and then, you know, 275s on 115. And then we repeat that like 4 or 5 times. So you're getting active rest in there, you're getting speed work in there. And right now, I'm just basically going over the quality stuff. I'm not really going into, you know, aerobic stuff, if you will. Other than that, I've gone a little bit quick. Does anybody have any questions about what we do, Dana?
Pac-Man
is, there used to be a video game, would it be the 80s, I think? At any rate, for freestyle, you are leading with your little finger like this, and you know how you used to eat up those dots, if you will. The idea is it's high elbows and low hands, which we were taught back then. So instead of, it's a pivot recovery right here, and you're going like this. Forward. You're entering with your little finger first. The reason you're doing little finger first is you don't want to enter thumb, because if you're entering thumb, you're going straight down. You're really not catching anything. So you really want to enter fingertips like this, so you're overcorrecting and you're going high elbows and low hands. Teacup is backstroke where, again, I can't keep my fingers together, but you're going like this, like you're putting a teacup in the water, so that you're working on little finger first on the entry. So you're overcorrecting, if you will. So instead of little finger first, and they're really giving you the backside of the hand, by going teacup, you're really working, palm down on the entry. Angel drill is where you're doing butterfly, and your hands are in the snow, and your fingertips are down like so, and you're breathing every single stroke on angel drill, and you're kicking freestyle. And the idea is to make sure that you're getting your elbows up and the fingers like this, and you're also, by kicking freestyle, able to turn over your stroke a little bit more. The only bad part about it, sometimes you have to remind your swimmers that you cannot kick freestyle during butterfly, which some of them forget.
On the angel drill, do they full stroke with your arms, or are they just going?
No, they do a full stroke. So what you're doing is you're kicking free, and you're pulling like so. And the idea is to get the elbows up. And by kicking freestyle, you're able to turn your arms over a little bit quicker.
Mark, talk about you had goal sheets up there. Talk about your goal setting process, if you will.
Sure.
The length of the goal sheet the kids fill out, and how often you review that with them individually.
We fill it out early in the season. It'll be, the standard, okay, what events do you want to swim? What are your goals? Okay, and then we get into the whys. Why are you here? What do you hope to accomplish? And, we have a number of kids with the advent of water polo. I'm here to be in shape for water polo. And I have no problem with that. As long as you are doing what I want, it helps out immensely. We talk to them individually about it, because as the season is a blur. If you start, you can have all these great ideas, about what you want to do and change, but it goes really, really quickly. I try to talk to them individually about, how they're feeling, what they think they're doing. But I probably need to do a better job of that, because again, they constantly need reassurance as to what they can do and how good they can be.
Mike, how often do you review that with them? Is there a one-time thing, or do you meet with them several times a year? And is that a 10-minute conversation, or as long as it takes kind of thing?
It would usually be like in the weight room, because that's usually a good time, because they're all there, and I usually pull them aside and talk to them during that time. As far as team, we constantly are doing that each and every Monday,
right,
or Wednesday if we're having a state or sectional team meeting.
But you have your individual conversations.
Sure. Really as needed,
okay.
And usually there's contact every day, like it might be something like, you're really looking good in the fly, or this is really looking good. There's constant feedback on the deck as to what's going on. There's no sitting at practice. I strongly discourage that from everybody, because I think it shows disinterest in what they're trying to do. But there's constant feedback on, what they're doing, and you know, let's say if they have a poor swim in the middle of the year, it's like, you know, maybe you had a poor swim, but you had a great practice here. Even though you're not seeing it in the water, it's going to be there. So, you know, there may not be a physical meeting, but there's constant feedback on where they're at and where we're going. Yes.
How do you incorporate the video and recording and talking to kids about what you're seeing and how they're seeing on video?
Usually what we'll do is we'll have one of my volunteer assistants videotape them. And that volunteer assistant usually will give a lot of feedback there, because I find that I am like the ringleader trying to keep everything going. Because if I do the videotaping and practice breaks down, that's not a really good thing. I would like to be more involved in the videotaping. The coaches that we have, we're usually on the same page as far as strokes go, and if there's a problem, we talk about it. But usually we'll have like a volunteer coach come in Thursdays, and he'll videotape the swimmers. I know as we get toward the end of the year, we videotape the relays so that people get an idea of what they're seeing. So they, you know, if I'm saying, you know, get the hands to the wall and they're floating the finishes, they can see what I'm talking about.
When it comes to videotaping, how much is above water compared to underwater videotaping?
That's a great question. I would say most of it is above water. We've had some underwater cameras before, but we probably should look at that a little bit more. So it's pretty much over the water. Yes?
Yeah, the goal setting, you might ask a kid what's your goal for the year, and you're going to have two extremes. Of course, you have the 1 minute kid goes, well, I think by the end of the year I'll go 59.6, and then the other kid by the minute. By the end of the year, I'm going to be a 46-second. Now, do you just go, okay, fine, great way to go, or do you try to...
No, and actually, you bring up a great point. Several years ago, I had a swimmer who set his goals way too high, and I tried to talk to him about it, and I was wrong, and he was right. But I was right, he was wrong, if you know what I'm saying. The end of the year did not turn out too well, and I think the problem was he had set end of the year goals, like I'm going to do this, so that if I don't do this, then I'm a failure. And even though we have those goals, I really try to get the swimmers to stay away from end of the season results. You need to be in the moment at the end of the year and not thinking about all these other worthless things that you're thinking about. I have an expression, and you may not like it, but thinking is for school and not for swim team. Okay, and I don't mean that. I'm not saying, okay, you know, you're thinking about your pace. I understand that, but we all have these guys that are thinking way too much about what they're doing. I don't want them thinking about what they're... I'll do enough thinking to drive everybody else nuts. So that same swimmer, the very next year, it was more carefree. He swam much, much better. So if they are way too... If the goals are way too... You know, I want to beat Michael Phelps tomorrow. Well, you know, that probably isn't going to happen. We try to stay away from it. And the other point that I want to mention that you mentioned is if you have these goals... They're goals and not albatrosses around people's necks. I don't want the kids thinking at the end of the year. I want them racing. I want them having fun. I want them enjoying the moment. It's never a situation, Jimmy, we need you to be 20.5, or, you know, we need you to do this, because we may need that, but that's just not going to work. It's going to be too much of a expectation on the swimmer, and I want them to be in the moment. Does that help? Any other questions? Well, I honestly thank you very much for being here. I've enjoyed it, and thank you very much.